and it's just still just me and you. At the end of the day, it's me and you pursuing the Lord, and that's what it's about, you know. And I love that it doesn't make it about success in the ministry. It doesn't make it about success at work or any of that. It's just, man, we just, as long as this is good and this is good, we're good. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna make it.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Of course, we've had another shooting tragedy. United States. And listen, everything is going exactly as it always does. There's a huge media blitz. There is no dialogue whatsoever. There is no conversation whatsoever. There are only two strongly entrenched camps screaming at each other and accusing of each other of everything. I think it's time that if we as a nation begin to ask ourselves some tough questions about the moral decisions we've made for the last 30 years, and our chickens are coming home to roost. And I think it's ridiculous to think that the solution is so simple as to control guns, or the solution is so simple as to not control guns. It actually has very little to do with this. We can swat the flies, or we can remove the source of the stench. And the time for swatting flies is over. It's time to make corporate prayer, especially our corporate prayer at the end of the month, the last Wednesday of the month. It's time to make that a priority in your life. If you're out pursuing this world, I don't know what you're planning to hand your children, but if we don't turn this thing around, the mass media, The View, who thinks that our president, our vice president, is mentally ill because God speaks to him. Listen, somebody's going to establish the moral climate in this nation. If you want it to be someone who thinks people who talk to God and actually believe God can talk back to them are mentally ill, then don't pray. They'll go ahead and take care of that for you. But I, for one, am not handing this to my children and eventual grandchildren. TikTok, buddy. TikTok. That's all I'm saying. TikTok. Okay. My poor daughter. Anyway, keep her on your prayer list. So I just encourage you. I encourage you to pray. I encourage that. Pray. And we're going to take a moment right now. We're going to pray for Florida. And we're going to pray. But we're going to pray one more time for our nation. Amen? Let's just bow our heads. Father, we worship you and we honor you. And God, we know that this is an abomination to you. God, we know it was never your will that this sort of thing would occur. But God, wherever we restrict the light, there is no other alternative but darkness. And so, Father, we're saying, God, in accordance with your word and your promises, that we who are your people and are called by your name, we humble ourselves now and we pray, God, and we ask you to hear from heaven and we ask you to heal our land, to heal the sickness, the plague of moral debauchery and insanity in our nation, and God, to turn our hearts once again back to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in a series, and we're in week three of a four-week series on relationships. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Anybody started any new relationships? Hopefully not married people. You went the wrong way with that. But we talked about the necessity of relationship, that relationships are the building blocks of our lives. Relationships really are everything. Everything else is the details. Hopefully you don't go to work to be at work. Hopefully you go to work because it's an essential part of providing and facilitating your relationships. Amen? And then we talked about how important it is that our personal relationships inside the body of Christ are healthy, that our core is healthy, that our relationships are healthy. And we stood upon this point. If you look around the room, there's nobody in this room, even the person who aggravates you the most, that you can afford to blow off that relationship. Everyone who is here for a reason. And I'll tell you how God operates. He hides his kingdom behind his character. He locks those doors and requires you to operate in the kingdom keys of things like humility and faith and patience and grace. And so sometimes the person who's got the word of that you need to hear will be coming out of the mouth of a person you don't particularly like. Can you imagine that? Like your husband or your wife. Or a boss. Or an arrogant person, you know, who really aggravates you. You know, God resists the proud, but it's not like he gets up and breaks a sweat. He doesn't get all worked up resisting them. All he does is he just puts them under circumstances where if they don't operate in humility, they don't get their freedom. We confess our sins to Jesus to be saved, but we confess our faults one to another to be healed. If you're looking for healing in your life, emotional, physical, spiritual, if you're looking to increase the fruit in your life, then what you need to deal with is your relationships. If you've been in church more than 2 or 3 years, head knowledge is not going to help you at this point. You're either going to renew your mind or you're not. You're going to have to get your relationships in order, which is going to require you to be transformed by the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. Amen? Well, how many people know of, at least, Ciro and Vanessa Ramos? Two people have heard of you guys. You've always seen them. Their heads were about this big because they were on the Skype screen. But now it is my intense pleasure to bring up two people that I've known for, golly, what, about 5, 6 years now, maybe? Met them. Vanessa was working with Global Roar, and Ciro was in the Roar class, one of the classes that I was teaching. And I had already planned to make this week about marriage in our relationship series. And as it timed out, they were going to be here this week, and I think that was the Lord, because I think, you know, for a couple of young bucks, they have an excellent marriage. They came out of Living Hope Church, they sat under the bishop, and you can't get married under the bishop without getting your act together. It, you know, hell would freeze over before that would happen. And so they've sat under some of the finest teaching and some of the greatest hearts for families known, and they're going to impart something here. How many people would like to receive something of this impartation? I'm believing for it. Your marriage is not so great that it can improve. And if you don't believe that, why do you think you have those bruises in your rib cage? We're not going to say who does that, but we know who does it, don't we, dear? Anyway, so let's bring them up. Let's lift our hands up here and pray for them real quick. Father, we just thank you for Ciro and Vanessa and little Doug. Oh, you're not naming him Doug? It's a girl? Douglina, little Douglina. Douganetta. Father, we just ask for the full horn of the anointing, God, that they might impart and deposit something rich and deep in this body. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's make them feel Living Hope welcome, shall we?
Well, good morning. Okay, so let's pray. Let me pray. So, Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We love you. We know that your eyes are on your bride. And so we just thank you, Father. We know that your love and affection is poured out towards us. We know that you've already given your life for us, and there's nothing that you withhold from your bride. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would impart what you want to impart to your bride this morning. So we love you, and we just rejoice in what you're doing here and now. And so we just ask that you would come and speak to each one of our hearts exactly where we're at, Jesus. You know what each one of us need. You know that each one of us are victorious because of you when we look to you. So thank you, Father. We do look to you this morning, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a scripture I love when I read it, because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I've always felt like the Christian life is hard if you're actually going to live it and try and live it right. I feel like it's pretty difficult, but something, I'm like, man, how is this going to end? You hear about the trials and tribulations and just the end times, and my thought is, man, I always love to look to the end. What does the end look like? And I love Revelations 19:7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." I love to know that we're going to get it, right? If we just continue to look to Jesus, the issue is not are we going to make it? He says right here, we're going to make it, and we're going to be beautiful, and we're going to be clean and pure and righteous by the things that we do. So he is going to give us the grace to do the things we need to do. I love knowing in the end it's done. So we don't have to try and figure out all the details. We just have to look to him, which is how I felt the Lord wanted to start, was just with the preface of the simplicity of the gospel. Satan, obviously we know, loves to steal, kill, and destroy, but something he loves to do when we're pursuing the Lord and with, oh, thank you, not in there. When we're pursuing the Lord, is he likes to either make something super complicated to the point where you're just like, forget this, I don't even, this is way too complicated for me. You know what, I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing. Or if he can swing it that way, he swings back the other way to just do a shortcut, just a quick shortcut. You can be just like God. Who said that you're going to die, right? The Satan's plan, he always wants to introduce a shortcut. Even to Jesus, we see, oh, just, you, I'll give you all the nations. Well, it's already his, and it's going to be his. He always wants to offer a shortcut. And so what we wanted to, I'm prefacing that just because I believe the Lord has made marriage simple. Let me say that again. He has made it to where it can be very simple if you're pursuing him. The enemy will make it super complicated. He'll make it to where you don't understand you will never understand women. Well, that's not really the point, is to understand your wife. The point is to pursue her and find her and love her. But he loves to make it super complicated, or he likes to give you shortcuts. Just don't worry about that. Just give her some money, a rose, and she'll figure it out. No, he wants intimacy. And so I say all that just to preface with how we're going to speak this morning. So, but before we do that, not many of you guys, what time do we have till? If it's till 11, I just go a lot faster. Is it till 11? Okay. All right. Well, we just wanted to give a short testimony just so you have an idea where we're coming from. And I'll let Vanessa start with that.
Hello. I'm so humbled to be here. And I mean, that introduction was like, I'm not worthy. But thank you for that. And we have been through the ringer in different areas, and probably not going to share a ton of that. But just a little tidbit, I accepted Jesus when I was like 7 years old. My parents divorced 2 years later. Kind of grew up in a chaotic home, but went to church, but there just wasn't freedom in the house. And then fast forward through high school and garbage, I got born again when I was 18 years old, right after high school, and went to church and saw him there. And we actually went to high school together, but we were on two separate pages, so we weren't even friends, but seeing him at church and just becoming friends and developing our friendship, the Lord started to kindle something there. And then in 2010, we were like 25 at that point, right, when we got married. We got married and then really felt called to the ministry and sought the Lord really for our next steps every year, every time. We completed a season of life. We're like, okay, Lord, what's next? And so we did the Bible college. I did it before we were married and when we were engaged, and then he did it afterwards. And he did a pastoral apprenticeship for a year through Living Stones. And then, and then in 2016, really felt like the Lord was calling us to Cambodia for a season. And so we've been there for a year, and so we're home for 1 month to kind of get refreshed, filled back up, and kind of reach out to our supporters and say thank you. So we do thank you guys. This church supports us, and we're so grateful.
That's good. I just wanted to share just a portion of my testimony, is just that we both came from broken families and separation, sexual abuse, parents split, you sense that abandonment, new marriages take place, and so your world kind of goes, it just goes all over the place. And so as we came back, so she said we got married in 2010, you kind of approach marriage like, I'm going to fight for this woman for, you know, tooth and nail, and then you realize, wow, this is much more difficult than you realize. And what I love, our pastor would always tell us is, well, men, you just die. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? You just die. That sounds very vague. But what I love is some of the things that we'll talk about, just kind of share what dying looks like, what it looks like to die to what you want, and you're looking, your center now is on the other person of how can I love her or love him. And so, let me just move forward. Buddy, do we have the... Yes. Oh, is it? A little hard to see. Okay. So we'll just, if we could skip to the next one. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. I love, he just makes it simple. When we see there's alignment, when we step out of alignment, we can see, hey, the husband's not leading the family. Something's out of place. Or, hey, the wife is wanting to lead because the husband's not leading. It's just simple, a simple picture that you can see. And just what I want to express with that is that I will express that later. That's for later. So we'll just, could we go to the next one? And so these are just the four things that we have. We'll just already lay them out for you. This is what we're going to talk about real quick. Men, what women, you can look at so many marriage things. Oh, yeah, it's right here. And it's right here, too. Men, there are so many marriage things out there, but these are things that we've fought for. This is revelation we've received from the Lord that we just want to offer, and so I feel like it comes with a little bit of grace behind it. But something that I recognize she needs is security in her position, knowing where she fits alongside me, validation as to who she is, her beauty, her emotions, that I recognize and I'm with her, and I validate her as my wife and all who she is. Vision communicated. I need to express where we're going, why she needs to know that I am looking to the Lord for these things, and then covering, that I need to cover her. We'll get into all that. And then.
Yeah, so for his and talking with Ciro, a man's needs that I've found is honor. I feel like that's every man, honor, validation in his strength and his giftings and in his manhood, submission and intercession.
And so obviously, I mean, I imagine we've all heard of love and respect. They have books out about that. A husband needs to love his wife. A wife needs to respect her husband. We're going to kind of cover that's in this. So we're not bypassing that. Can we go number one? Security in her position. Is that true for anybody else? Because that's definitely true in our house. I've rolled off the side of the bed several times. We had a queen size bed. So the wife needs to know that your relationship with the Lord is number. She needs to know that my number one fight is for my relationship with the Lord. If she doesn't know that, then if my number one fight is to be a good boss at work, I love recreation, I love something else. If my center is not Jesus, then anything other than Jesus can be shaken. And so she thinks that she can be shaken. If my number one fight, my number one pursuit is not Jesus, she automatically will go, something can be shaken here. That means I can be shaken. That means I don't feel secure. That's number one. What I liked about John 14, 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I just love Jesus is expressing, everything I'm doing is for my Father. And in the pursuit of the Father, I am making a place for you. And I feel like as the bride, she also cares that if you're pursuing the Lord, I know there's a place for me because the Lord knows who I am and what I need. And so when we make the Lord number one pursuit, we can see that Jesus says the same thing. I am making a place for you, and I am pursuing my Father first. My glory and my worship is done to my Father, and you guys, I have a place for you. So,
next slide is honor. So Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the spirit of the bond of peace. We have little funnies on everyone. So Ephesians is, they're talking to the body of Christ, which is us. It's the wives. And so I love this scripture because it, as a wife, I identify with it. Like, okay, keep the peace in the marriage. Like, there's always going to be offenses. There's always going to be something that arises that's going to tick you off. And if you can eagerly maintain the unity and the spirit of the bond of peace, like, it brings honor to your husband. So I just wrote down, honor your husband, esteem him, think of him more highly than yourself. Little things, make eye contact when he's talking to you. If there's a million people in the room or kids or whomever, like, make sure that he holds your attention as he's talking to you, and you're not, you know, I mean, life gets crazy and we do, you know, a million things. Women are multitaskers, but men typically are not. And so to see us drop everything and give them our full attention means the world to them and brings life to them. So, do you want to say something? Oh, okay. And then just, like, I love the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity. So, like, going back to the simplicity, like, keeping it simple for me, like, little ways that I love to honor Ciro, and this is just me, is, like, little things like food. Like, I will make sure that he eats before me. Like, we sit down together, but I will serve him first. And it's silly, but it's something, a little selfless step that hopefully ministers life to him, because, you know, food and sex are men's simple things. So I try to remember him first in every activity. Jokingly, but seriously, especially when eating. He should not have to compete with kids. Now, we don't have kids yet. I have one on the way, and we did foster for a couple years, and we've always had people living in our house. And so when he comes home or when he needs my attention, he shouldn't have to compete with everyone in the house or, you know, and do you want to jump in there?
Yeah. There's an aspect of life that, oh, I'm the head of the house. I come home. I want some attention. I just spent all day at work, and I come home, but at the same time, she's been the head of the house the whole day, working with a bunch of people, kids or whatever's been going on, taking care of the house. And so what I say is that for the husband, it's just nice to know that the wife reestablishes, hey, you're the head. You're the one I love. Not the kids. Not the house. I love you. You are a place. You're not a kid, so I'm not going to treat you like a kid when you come in. I'm not going to just tell you go clean something up. You know, the house needs to get fixed. We all know that stuff. But if she just gives me attention, a time, gives me a kiss, lets me reestablishes me as her husband, I can't. Hey, what do you need? What needs to get done? Because she pulls me into what's happening in the day, rather than me being another issue that she needs to work through. And so that's what
I love that, because in that, when we honor our husband's time, attention, and position in those moments, we're ultimately teaching our children to do that as well. And really, if we're really giving an example of the bride in Christ, then we're teaching them to keep Christ first in all things, no matter what situations arise, no matter what comes in. And definitely, that's not an easy thing. But as many opportunities that arise and we could take them and display that, then we need to fight for that. And then just with honoring, like, I know personally, like, I have found that any time that I'm knowingly dishonoring Ciro is when I am walking in unforgiveness. And so I have up there Isaiah 43:18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. We need to be continually renewing our mind, continually believing the best. Proverbs 4:23 also talks about guarding your heart, for within it springs up the wellsprings of life. Like, if we are to offer life to our husbands and our children and the people in our lives, then we need to put a guard on our hearts against those offenses and keep our hearts pure to offer love.
Next one. Yep. Who do we have? So the wife needs to know that her thoughts, her feelings, and her beauty are seen, felt, and heard. We saw that Jesus wept over our condition. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. And as men, I know it's easy. Our brain thinks in priority of needs, and so we'll think, well, this is broken. This needs fixing, and you're telling me you don't like your shirt. So I'm going to go in priority. And you almost don't even recognize or validate her emotions or her thoughts or her feelings towards a friend or something that just took place. And you can totally just blow past her heart. And it's something so simple as, wow, yeah, that we need to get you a new shirt. It's torn. Or, you know, I mean, just something catching her in that moment. That is the hurt. That is everything. It's just you knowing, hey, you know, it's just you being in her world. Our world is the big, I mean, you know, in our heads, it's the big things. It's these things. In their world, my heart, her heart is the big thing. And if you're not listening to my heart, you're missing everything. And so, what we have, we at the NRP conference, we had, can somebody say his name, Bob Sorge? Sorge, okay. I bought one of his books, The Chastening of the Lord, The Forgotten Doctrine. But he put Psalm 22:24, and he's talking about how the Lord, for he has not despised nor bored the affliction of the afflicted. And how he states it is, God doesn't despise, he doesn't view too lightly or view too heavily our affliction. He doesn't look at us and say, oh, that's no big deal, right? The Lord's heart towards us is, he sees it right what it is, and he notices it. He is there near us for every emotion, for every desire, for every want, for every need, for the little things and the big things. So if that's the Lord's heart towards his bride, our heart should be similar. Hey, that's your shirts. That's not that big of a deal. You know, no, okay, yeah, that's important. That matters to you. That matters to me. So that's the same with the Lord. I liked that context. Okay, we can go from there.
Same for his and hers is validation as well. So his strength. So my main thing is like, use your words. You know how like little kids are learning to talk, like okay, use your words now. I think it's the same with us. Like, we need to use our words to validate our husbands. I have down, celebrate his victories. Tell him when you are happy because of something that he's done. So if you have a list of things that I feel like we all have our list, like he needs to do this, 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 or he needs to work on this, this, this. When he does that and when he achieves that, speak that instead of the list of things. Say, God, thank you so much for washing the dishes, or, you know, whatever it is that he's done. Celebrate those. Like, tell him that he is a rock star superhero king and priest of your home every time that one thing or whatever gets done. And it's not mocking or anything. It's really pouring life into those things and allowing him to see how much it means to you. Like, for us, it's like a simple thing, and we can just so easily say, like, well, thanks for doing that. Like, I asked you to do this and this too, or something like that. Like, celebrating those victories is huge because it's showing them how important it is to the wife. And so we need to use our words in that, whether it's provision, even moments where you see his courage come through, or his intelligence, or if he's protection, or giving tenderness to you. Like, verbalize how important that is. Thank you for being tenderhearted with me. It really means a lot to me. And then, of course, helping around the house is huge. And have a grateful heart in those moments. Don't despise small beginnings. allow there to be room for growth. And then husbands need our affirmation in the highs, and then especially in the lows. When he fails, stand by him. Don't hold it over his head. There's no need to point it out. He already knows. I guarantee you it's been like going around in his head a million times how he failed and how horrible he is and whatever. And so our position in his failures is to affirm his identity in Christ and to remind him who he is. Hey, you're not a failure. Like, that's not who you are. And help him separate his identity from the mistake, and speak life continually. Oops, what did I do here?
Yeah, I don't know how many have read Wild at Heart or Captivating books by John Eldredge, and he just talks about the question every man wants to know is, do I have what it takes, right? Is my strength, I am made to be of strength, and I'm made to, advance the fort, to lead. And so if the woman can validate that, no, you have what it takes. You did a good job. Your strength, you placed it out there and it won. And if it didn't, it's okay. That doesn't mean that you're not strong. It just means you made a mistake. It's okay. So that's important.
Okay. And then the second thing about validation, like his strength and his manhood. So we do this by giving our hearts fully to our husbands. So going back to the Proverbs 4:23 and guarding your heart, we have to guard our heart so that we're able to offer romantic affection to our husband, and that validates his strength. And also deeper, our romance validates his manhood. Someone had told me, like, it's not a privilege in marriage, it's an honor, and it's a tool, it's a weapon that we can wage against the enemy. And I was just like, whoa, that's awesome. Let's see. So I am, just in case anyone is not clear, I am talking about sex. however, we can also kindle romance by being excited when they come home, cook their favorite dinners, give them flirty touches, give them eyes from across the room, but then again, use your words. Tell them they're handsome. Tell them they're sexy. Tell them any kind of flirty words that come, whatever. Jesus help us. To validate his manhood. Like, a man wants to know that he's desired in that way all the time, every day, every moment.
Yeah, we get pretty busy, and there's lots of people all the time, especially now in the season of life we're in with a group of people in Cambodia. So oftentimes it gets busy, and you can begin, it's just easy to kind of get your focus is just over here. But when I look and I see that she's just admiring me from across the room, it just puts everything back to center. If it doesn't work in Cambodia, nothing happens. There was still love that took place in Cambodia. We loved the people around us, and you know, that was the Lord's thing then. But as long as I see that she's still smiling at me and happy, I'm in a good place.
Oh, it is. Okay. How did that work out? I did.
Vision communicated. Yeah, it's just simple. We all know this. Women think different than men. Men think different than women. We're geared that way, and I love that. It can be super annoying if you allow Satan to twist what was meant to be beautiful. I don't want to admire a man the way I want to admire a woman. The way that she is so different fits to who I am. I love her mystery. I love the way she thinks. I don't want her to think like me. That'd be gross in my head. But when we're going somewhere, it's hard if you're going in one direction and you have people thinking totally different. And so what I have is, men, we need to lead in vision, covering and protection, loving and speaking life and words of affirmation over their beauty and life, making room for their gifts and seeing them become all that they were made to be, seeing their gifts flourishing, making way for them to bring life into the world as they were intended to. Men are given the mantle to lead. We talked about that the man is the head as Christ is the head of the bride. And so what we see is that men have eyes. I think the picture's simple. There's eyes, there's ears, there's a mouth. Our eyes are to look to the Lord, to see where we're headed. We have ears to hear a now word from the Lord. It's our job to seek the Lord. Lord, what are you saying now? You know, we're not back in the United States. I'm not still working at BP. She's not still going to school. I mean, we're in a different season. What's the now word for today? I need to hear that to lead a vision, and I need to be able to see it and then communicate that to her. Is this the one where I share that thing? Yeah, Habakkuk, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. It's just simple that in order for... Yeah, go ahead.
One thing that when we were going over this is a lot of times in marriage, things go just uncommunicated. Like, we just think that they know my heart or they understand where we're going. Like, you know, if we talk to someone, well, they said this, and we both said yes, and that's enough, and so that's what we're doing. It's like, but we never had a time of communicating what that yes meant to both of us and how we're going to walk it out. And so this is a man's opportunity to communicate his expectations with his wife of life, family, ministry, to really set your wife up for success. Because when you don't communicate these expectations, these things, the vision of your house, then your wife will just fill in the gaps, and then you are upset because she doesn't have your heart, and, you know, it's just this vicious cycle. And so if you're communicating your heart, if you're saying the vision of the house, what you see, what you want, what you're hearing from the Lord, it makes it very easy for a wife to come in alignment to that.
At the NRP conference, Pastor Keith and Penny Tusey shared similar things. But what I loved is the freedom you guys gave us to make that a priority, to communicate the vision. Sometimes, to me, I take it like, well, that's like almost like a date. I feel like this is a privilege. Like, to me, I almost kind of wanted to put that like in a privilege, like luxury thing. I don't know why my brain thought that way, but I loved that, no, make that priority. Your first vision, your first, how'd you guys say it? It's out of divine order. If she's hearing something before, if she's hearing, if the congregation in total is hearing something, and that's her first time hearing it, that's out of divine order. I was like, oh man, that's happened a couple times. That was off. And she's told me, I shouldn't be hearing this for the first time. But I love that gives me the freedom to make sure, man, when you're communicating this here, the house will just flow good. The kids will, you know what I mean? Like everything will just be in order, because she's your number one reinforcer, your number one enforcer on the things that you set, that you've heard from the Lord. You speak it to her, she enforces it to the entire house. I love that.
And just to kind of break any kind of fear for wives, like, it's not this blind submission, whatever. It's those times of communication are open to, for the husband to offer it open-handedly, for, like, as Cyril says, to put my color on it, or, you know, to, so it's not like this bulldozing decision, we're going to do this and live this way. It's communicating.
What I love is when you get a revelation from the Lord, a vision from the Lord, he always makes room for the wife to be free in who he's called her to be. It's never like, oh, I'm just going to follow the husband around like a little dog. That's not it. He's making a space for all of her gifts, all so she can be fully alive, a part of the vision that we're given.
So his need is for us wives to submission. Again, going off of the vision, him providing vision, husband's role is to give vision, in that he needs to encourage us in that vision so that we can enforce it. That's repeating what we just said. And then I have here, obedience brings the blessing. Trusting that our husbands hear from God is the best perspective to fight for. And then if you don't trust your husband, ask God why, and, you know, go to Pastor Doug and tell him all about it. He'll help you out there. But there is an element of familiarity that we need to fight against in our marriage relationships in order for a wife to fully submit to our husbands. We can't just look at his fears and his past and his own understanding. We can't put that into our logic. We need to surrender that to the Lord and submit and allow the Lord to work those things out. I have just a little testimony of Cyril and I. So we've been married for 7 years, almost eight. It's 2018. And we have been trying to have babies for like probably 5 or 6 years now. We did have a miscarriage in 2014, which is like roughly 3 years ago. But anyway, through this whole process, Cyril and I would go back and forth. Well, really just me arguing and telling what I thought. But I would just struggle so much with why we weren't having it. Like, the word clearly states that children are inheritance, and inheritance is given by the Lord, and I have my inheritance now. And just logically taking scripture and stating my case as far as, like, this is opposite of scripture. I need to have children in my womb. Like, that's just what it was. And I would bring it to Cyril and be in tears and whatever. And he would say, Vanessa, it's just the timing of God. Like, we need to trust in the timing of God. And I'm like, no, that's not scriptural. Like, I just couldn't receive that. And we would fight. And well, I would fight, and he would just be like, it's timing, you know. And so in August, I was wrestling with the Lord, and I was just came to a point of, like, surrendering, really, and my own understanding was, like, I don't care how many scriptures proves that I should be bearing children. I'm going to align myself with my husband, and whatever he views, I'm just going to have safety under that. And I was like, Cyril, like, can you just tell me one more time? Like, explain it to me one more time. Because every other time he explained himself, it would go in one ear and out the other. Like, I would just wait to pick it apart with scripture. And I'm like, can you just tell me one more time, you know, your thoughts on why we haven't conceived yet? And he would say, V, it's just timing. That's it. Just one sentence. And I said, okay. And in that moment, I allowed my heart to align with his. And we found out we were pregnant in September, like that next month after that, just aligning my heart with his. It wasn't even in my mind, it wasn't even necessarily, oh, the Bible says this. It was just with his heart, with my husband's heart. And fruit came, praise God.
What she didn't know is during that whole time I had been praying, and the Lord told me, hey, change your prayers. She would tell me, hey, Cyril, find out if we're going to be pregnant. Like, you pray and you find out. And so I would go to the Lord and be like, Lord, are we going to have this kid? And the Lord's like, you know that's not the real question. Ask a different question. I said, okay, when? Because that's where my faith was at with him. I said, when are we going to have this kid? And I felt like he told me, and I felt like he told me to wait. Why would he tell you to wait? Because I felt like he wanted her to wrestle through a couple things that she needed to wrestle through. So my point is, I was very much pursuing the Lord in this manner, and I wasn't just trying to find a scapegoat scripture. Oh, it's timing of the Lord. No, I really felt like I had been pursuing the Lord in this. And what are we on? Oh, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What I love is just, for women, you don't have to try to figure everything out. That is a man's mantle. In some of these situations, it's just the man's mantle to carry. It's a burden. Thank God you don't have to carry, right? We have a burden that when they got married, men, you immediately thought of finances. Like, there was this burden that just hit you. Oh, like, how am I going to pay for this and this and this? And like, that was one of the heaviest things that hit me when I got married. Just this mantle, that's mantle that hit. Well, she didn't feel that. She didn't. Well, it would be fine. Well, no, I'm the man. I feel like I got. It's a mantle that I carry. How are we gonna? Where are we going in life? I mean, all these things started to hit me right when we were about to get married, and when we got married, I felt this mantle. Well, if Vanessa steps out of place, she begins to feel that weight. Boom, 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 boom. Starts to feel that hit that I'm pursuing the Lord in. And so, what I like about this is just it's finding out. You don't have like. You see here, Jesus is talking to the bride in a sense. I am the way. You don't have to look for the way. I am the way. Vanessa, you don't have to look for how this is going to happen. Just look to me, and I've already pursued the Lord on this manner. You're trying to fight a battle that's not your battle to fight. You're wasting energy. You're wasting just resources. Yeah, you're out of kingdom, right? You're out of peace. You're out of joy. You're out of righteousness. Something's off. If there's just that shaking that takes place, you're not in alignment. So when you come in, I don't like, submission always has become a dirty word, but man, when you can see it in such a beautiful way, it's just the order of heaven. You know what I mean? You're just coming in alignment with heaven. Now, obviously, husbands, you don't abuse that, and you know, it's easy to, I like this, when my wife is mad at me, I tighten all the jar lids so she has to talk to me. So what is it? Oh, I've lost that vulnerability with her. I'm going to use my strength. You know, that happens as men. No, I'm the man. I'll use the strength, my strength, to put you back into place. Well, that's a total misuse of the beauty of what Christ did. Christ wouldn't do that to us in that manner. Yep. Okay. Yeah, so we'll just go right to the covering. Men, we are to be the breastplate that covers their life-giving parts. This is what we're always taught. Men, you are to be the breastplate, and it covers everything that offers life, right? A woman gives birth, and then she feeds the baby. Then we are to be a covering of that. She shouldn't be taking the hits That's our job. I think Pastor Keith, you were talking about that as well. You would take the hit. If anything ever happened, you're the one. Nope, I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit. That's not the wife's job to take the hit as far as anything that happens. you men take that hit. You're the one who is able to absorb the blow and move forward with it. If you allow them to take the hit, it could just crush them, because that's not their mantle. The wife has a mantle that the enemy wants to take. And if when you step out of the place, when I'm not covering her, man, he can swipe her and just get into her thoughts, get into her emotions, and lead her somewhere totally off if you're not covering. And so we have Numbers 38. This is something when we first got married, it hit us strong, and I loved it. It gave me such strength. Man, how can we be strong for our wives? But if her husband, it's really Numbers 30, 4 through 8. I want to, just for simplicity and space, it talks about the father is her covering. And if she makes a rash, a vow that obligates her, or a rash promise by which she obligates herself, if her father hears it and says, no, the vow that she made, it's canceled. But if he doesn't say anything and he just allows it, he's saying, okay, go ahead. And that vow now stays with her. And with her father, it's speaking of abstinence. It's talking about, you know, if she wants to hold herself in abstinence for her life or whatever. But then it moves forward and says, now, but if her husband forbids her when he hears about it, he nullifies the vow that obligates her, or the rash promise by which she obligates herself, and the Lord will release her. And I love that when you come into marriage, we talked about how complicated our lives were. We were broken. There was just different perversions and sexual abuse and rejection and abandonment. All this stuff took place in our life. You come into marriage, and then you're like, wow, you're beautiful, but you're broken inside. You know what I mean? I'm broken inside. I was hoping you had it together, and one of us were going to get this right. And you realize you're both broken, and then you realize, wow, both of us have probably made vows growing up. Well, I'm not going to let my wife treat me like that. I'm not going to let my husband treat me like that, right? These are the things that take place. Do you want to share that one story?
So when we first got, before we got married, there was one night where I was just wrestling with God, struggling, whatever. And actually, we had dated for like 9 months, and then broke up for 3 years. And in that 3 years, it was just a lot of just inner healing and just whatever. Anyway, so in those 3 years, I was wrestling with the Lord. I was holding unforgiveness against Cyril, because I thought that if I forgave him, then that meant that he was supposed to be my husband, which what it was. Like, I didn't want to let him in at all, because I knew that we would get married. Anyway, so I'm wrestling with the Lord, and like, my life is just like, little by little, I'm losing the blessing of the Lord, because I'm running from him. And I just thought I was running from Ciro, and, you know, I compartmentalized that. So I'm wrestling with the Lord, and I'm starting to see my sin. I'm starting to see my compromise. I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, because you stepped away from your covering. I'm like, we're not even married. Like, I'm just like upset with the Lord. Like, we're not even married. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then it began this desire in my heart for my covering. Like, I just like longed for it. Every time I saw Sarah and we weren't together, I'm like, man, like, I want my covering. Like, I want my protection. I want, like, these vows that I had been wrestling against and thinking that I had authority over, realizing, like, I needed my covering to come and come in agreement with me and break some of those things that I just couldn't on my own.
Do you want to share that one story about? Okay. Yeah, so there was one. Actually, while we were in Bible college, Vanessa got super sick. Is it okay for us? That's the one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And they said that she got an ear.
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. They said she got an ear disease, Meniere's disease, autoimmune disease. And we're like, what the heck? Where is this coming from? And as a husband, that's super, you feel super debilitated to protect your wife or to cover her or to fight for her. I mean, I could pray healing over her, but something else is going on. And what I love is she brought up one day, she said, wow, like this revelation blew up in her mind. She's like, I remember when I was younger, I saw somebody who had an autoimmune disease, and they had to eat healthy, and they had to take care of themselves. And I subconsciously, she said, I made a vow that, or not a vow, just.
Yeah, I made a vow out loud. Yeah. So this cute little lady was talking. She was all thin and older, and I was looked up to her, and she's like, yeah, I have an autoimmune disease that causes me to, I have to eat healthy, and I get really sick in my stomach, and da-da-da. And I said out loud, I was like, oh, I wish I had a disease that would keep me skinny, but I don't want my stomach to be upset. Maybe my ear. Like, the stupidest thing. Like, who wants an earache? And that's Meniere's disease, and I had it, and it was bad.
Yeah, so she had to eat super healthy and all that. But I remember as soon as she said that, I said, oh, I'm not in agreement with that at all. Like, that was agreement that I didn't know about. And as soon as I heard it, I am not in agreement that we break that in Jesus' name, right? Husbands, I felt so, you feel so powerful. Oh, heck no, we're breaking this sucker up. And I loved it. And we did. And I don't know if that was shortly after her ear was healed. And all of a sudden she's like, I was eating a bunch of salt, and I totally forgot about it. Like, it was almost like it was just an afterthought. It just went away because there was no longer any power. I love, as a husband, you have such a power to cover that stuff. But it can be very difficult when you're sick. It can be very difficult when you're wanting to have a child and you're looking for anything and everything to fix that thing. And I know that what the Lord ultimately wants is your heart. He wants you to look to Him. He wants you to know Him. He already knows you, kinda, because He made you. But He wants to know you by communication. He wants to know you because of these things that are in our lives that He allows you to come and pursue. He doesn't want you to read about Him. He wants you to take every life situation and bring that into relationship with Him. And I feel like, man, we drew so close to the Lord in that time, and we knew Him in a way. While He is our healer, you know what? We held His hands back because we made agreements. You know what I mean? And as soon as we came against that, we broke it, and it's gone. So,
did you want to share that stuff?
We're almost done. We're almost done. And just one more thing, with our brokenness, you want to move forward?
Yeah, I think okay. Sorry. So this is the last point for His needs is intercession for us. I just wrote down here, we are at war and we need to be praying for our husband's battles. If not daily, moment to moment. He needs you to fight for His purity, His courage, His job, His decisions, even for His ability to love you and your family well. We have this as a responsibility, just as weighty as His responsibility to lead us to the Father and to be our covering and to be our breastplate. Like, we need to take up this position with just as much weight. I love this story of Nabal, I think it's Nabal, whatever, and Abigail, and she, you know, ran before David, she hurried down, got off the donkey, fell before on her face, bowed to the ground, and she said, on me alone, my Lord, be the guilt, please let your servant speak in your ear, and hear the words of your servant, and that is our job, that is our role for our husbands, to go before the Lord, and to intercede on His behalf, not saying that Cyril's in a ball at all. He's not. But in his weaknesses, even in his strengths, just go before the Lord in intercession.
Yeah. There's so many situations we come into, and I just feel a heaviness that hits, and it's such a battle. Maybe I really do feel sick, and I will feel like if I get sick, that's how I end up in bed and writing my last will. That's really how it feels sometimes. But that, and then just spiritual attacks and things are just going on in your life. And Vanessa was like, baby, what can I do to help right now? And I'll be thinking for anything, something to eat, rub my back. And there's just nothing. Man, please just pray for me. Please pray that I can get through this and I can lead us through this. And intercession alone is something that is more powerful than than a delicious sandwich. So, so just the last thing I wanted to say, just there was just one story. Right when we found out we were pregnant, it was glorious and. Yeah, and scary, because you have a miscarriage. It was a little traumatic. It was our first kid, so when we had a miscarriage, I'm a father. No, you're not. Like, it was traumatic in my spirit. It was, I imagine it's traumatic regardless of how many kids it's in. It's just, it was something that kind of shook us. And I remember when we found out we were pregnant, I said, uh-oh, we're going to have to go through this again. And I just remember there's always an open air time you have a decision to make. How am I going to go about this? And you can listen to the ways of the old and what the enemy has to say, or in that time you can listen to the Lord and what he has to say. There is an open air time where you can make that decision, and almost like the Lord like pulls everything back, restrains your emotions, and you have an opportunity to tell your emotions where to go. And I remember I said, hold up, we are going to have this kid. I remember thinking, and I'm like, Lord, what do you have to say? And he said, worship all the way through this. Just worship all the way through this. I remember thinking, okay, I got it. I mean, we were full of joy, but I already knew the battle that was going to come. And I remember we were going into our first ultrasound. I felt that battle start to hit. Because the first ultrasound we had at home, it was, there's no heartbeat. And I was like, you know, just that death. Oh, death is gross. But I remember when we went in, I said, you know what? Because we started to talk. It still hits me. It's real. You know, I mean, it's a real battle. And I remember we went to go. We were both just kind of discussing. We could both feel this fear kind of starting to creep up, and it's trying to overtake. And I said, you know what? The Lord already told us what to do. So we're just going to worship. So we just worshiped. And I felt like men, like that was my opportunity to, I already received the vision. This is what you're going to do. And when the opportunity came, I covered and I just led. I said, hey, we're just going to worship. And we worship. And there's life.
It's good because I needed that. Like I needed his affirmation. I needed that vision because I was scared. I'm like, what if it's not there? What if this? What if that? And, you know, ultimately in my heart, I had to surrender it to the Lord, number one. But when he has the vision, he speaks the vision, you come in alignment with the vision, we worship, your spirit comes in unity with the Lord and what he's doing, and it just changes the whole game.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. Do you want to pray or whatever you want? Okay. Okay. Well, you guys mind if we just close in prayer? So Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you love your bride. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care about each one of our intricate details of who we are. You care that we're all made in your image, but there's one man and there is a woman. And so, God, we thank you that you've made us unique and you've made us to be powerful in unity, Father. You've made us to be powerful to advance your kingdom, to be powerful to advance the beauty of marriage. You've made us powerful to transform this world to look like your kingdom. And so, Father, I pray that right now, whatever it may be in each couple, Father, whatever little hurdle there might be, God, I pray that they would see the simplicity of how you've set this apart, Father, how you've set us to be glorious, to be victorious, to be stronger than the world. And so, Father, I pray that we would, each one of us, just submit to you, Jesus, our marriage. We would each submit to you whatever may be before us, God. And Lord, we just surrender and allow your victory to come. Let your revelation come. Let forgiveness come. Let your hope and glory and let your blood cover right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. In your name we pray.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services, And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.